We have been walking through the first parts of a series that I have wanted to preach probably since we started 10 years ago, but I just never, for whatever reason, felt that the time was right. I never want to just preach something just to preach it. I want there to be purpose. I want there to be reason with it. And that purpose and reason comes from God, not from me. But as we have been talking about the prophetic and what that means, what that is, why we must understand these things, because Satan perverts and twists everything that's good of God. Satan does not create, but he is clever. And so he knows how to take the things of God and turk them or tweak them or turn them so that they come to you in an impure way. And few things, I think, are greater a representation than that of prophecy and the prophetic. The word prophecy means to speak something before. In other words, before it takes place, it's being spoken. And when you talk about the world's understanding of that, you begin to look at things like mediums, tarot cards, seances, horoscope, all of these things that are the perversion of what God created perfectly. And again, as I shared with you earlier, those things did not stop. They're still active today, but my question is, are we as a church, and I mean that as a specific church, Remnant Life, and as a church worldwide, are we in a place to be able to receive that from God? Can we receive it from Him? And I believe the answer to that is yes. And so that's why we have talked about, and last week we said, what was the first prophetic word ever given in the Scriptures? And we said it comes all the way back at Genesis, the third chapter, where God is pronouncing the curse on Adam and Eve and the serpent, as well as the earth itself, for the entrance of sin. When you disobey God, there's always consequence, my friends, always. Amen. Now, if you do things right, as a parent, you know this. If your kids do something right, there's good consequences. You do something wrong, there's negative consequences. Well, that truth was not created by the Parents Association of America. That's God's law. That's the way God does things. If you follow my law and obey my law, you will be blessed. He said that to every single king that sat on the throne of Israel and Judah. If you obey my law, you will be blessed. But they didn't. So did God just go, good enough, close enough? No, there was punishment. Many kings did not serve long because they were so wicked, and those that were able to serve an extended period of time, for whatever reason, there was always consequence to those things. And so we talked about that the first prophetic word given is found in Genesis 15, where God says to the serpent, he says, he will crush your head and you will bruise his heel. That's the first prophetic word, because God was talking about the coming of his son. And because Jesus would come and give his life and be resurrected, that would crush Satan's head. But Satan was going to bruise Jesus, because going to the cross was a physical thing that Jesus had to endure on our behalf for us to be saved. This morning, I would like to begin examining, and I say begin, I'm not sure how much I'm going to be able to get through here. I'm going to get as much as I can. So don't listen too slow. I talk fast, but I'm not talking too fast. You're listening too slow. Listen fast. I'm an Italian. Talk fast, Sharon. Use my hands a lot. That's so you're not drifting over there. I want you right here. You with me? Don't lie to me. Are you with? Okay, I got a thumbs up. That's important. First, remember this. A godly word always comes from God. Now, you may be saying, thanks, Pastor. I'll write that down. That's a good one. A godly word always comes from God, and the counterfeit or the twisted words come from Satan. Here's why I tell you this. There are no other possible sources for those things. Does that make sense? There's no other possible place they can come from. Either they're coming from God or they're coming from Satan. So if you get those people that say, well, listen, this is no big deal here. You know, we got these kind of New Age crystal things. You know, it's good energy. You know what? The Bible doesn't say anything about that. What's the source then of that? It is Satan. And that's why I'm always encouraging you not to have any gray area with this. You need to be completely removed from all of those things. You have to guard what you watch on television. You have to guard what movies you watch. And parents, grandparents, you've got to guard your children against this. You're going to make me say it? What am I talking about? I am. I'm talking about Harry Potter stuff. That is one of Satan's greatest achievements, has been that entire industry. Because it makes the demonic look cute, it makes it look acceptable, and it makes it look fun. And I've had people say to me, what are you doing? Come on, it's just kids' stuff. No, it's not. It's not. It's Satan at his best, taking the beauty of what God created in the prophetic and making it acceptable for children. He gets into the children's hearts. What happens when they become adults? He's still there. That's why we have to guard them. You say, my kids aren't going to like. Well, what's more important to you? I don't remember in my parent contract it ever saying that my kids had to like me. Tara, did you see that in yours? Never saw that in mine. Never saw that. They don't have to like you about everything, but you know better because God's entrusted you with that responsibility. Everything that comes from Satan is a lie. Those aren't my words. That's what Jesus said. Jesus said Satan only can lie. It's his native tongue. You find that in John 8:44. He's the author of all things lying. So again, go back to what I said. The blessing, the good, the proper of what the prophetic is comes from God. Anything else twisted is from Satan. That's a lie. You say, Pastor Dave, man, you're really hammering on this, aren't you? Yes, I am. I am. Because for this church to continue to grow in the things of the prophetic, I need each and every one of you to recognize and know, is that a counterfeit? Is it real? Is it right? Is it of God? Or is it really clever and I'm being deceived? You got to be on guard for those things. I don't ever want you to be caught off guard. I hear that so many times from people. Maybe you've said it yourself. You say, man, I don't know what happened, and all of a sudden, I'm doing this, or I'm hearing this, or I'm thinking this. What happened? Don't be caught off guard. And we're going to talk more about that in the future and how you position yourself to do that. But throughout the Bible, through both the Old and the New Testaments, God was speaking to his people. And see, church, that's us. Now, he was speaking to the people of Israel, the children of Israel, because that's who the Old Testament is written about. But you understand, Paul writes that when we become Christians, we are grafted into that line. We become the children of Abraham through Jesus Christ. So anything written in the Bible to Israel also applies to us. Does that make sense? It applies to you. It applies to me. I believe that the Bible shows us three separate avenues through which God speaks his will and his word to his people. I'm hoping to get through number one. All right? You good with that? See, now you have to come back next week. You have to come back next week. Sorry, it's a cliffhanger. That's what we call this, a cliffhanger. You got to come back and see how it ends. I think the first way that God speaks to his people is through placing his word in their heart or their mind. That's the first one. The second one is he does this through dreams and through visions. The third one is through angelic visitation. All right, those are the three ways I believe that God is continuing to speak to his people today. By the implanting of his word in our hearts and our minds, through dreams and visions, and through angelic visitation. Now, I'm not going to talk about this one today, but you might be asking, Pastor Dave, have you ever seen an angel? Have you had an angelic visitation? Not to my knowledge. I want one. Desperately, I would love an angelic visitation, Randy. I have a lot of questions I'd like to ask. He may not be there to answer it. As a matter of fact, I'm sure he's not, because angels only come to do the bidding of what God sent them to do. The word angel means messenger. That's what the angels do. They bring messages from God. They do the will of God the Father. But can that still happen today? Absolutely. Do you see a lot of angel shows on television and all that kind of thing? That's the twisted, perverted counterfeit. If you see it on TV, folks, it ain't from the Bible. Almost a guarantee. Now, there are a couple things that have been around lately. The Chosen series is a pretty good one. That's not bad. Is it word for word out of the Bible? No, but it's not bad. How many of you went and saw Noah? NBC, go, you go and saw Noah? I went and saw Noah. There were three things that were accurate about that. The guy's name was Noah. There was an ark. There was a lot of water. Outside of that, not much else. Not much else. That's Hollywood. That's Hollywood. This morning, I want to talk about what it means to receive a word from God into your heart and into your mind. You see, following the entrance of sin into the line of man in the Garden of Eden, God was no longer able to communicate face to face. He did that in the beginning with Adam and Eve. Remember, it says that God was walking through the cool of the garden and Adam and Eve hid from him. They didn't want him to see them because now they knew that they had sin in their lives. God was face to face. Do you know we're going to have that again someday? When Christians go to heaven, when we go into paradise with him, we're going to worship at the throne of God. I could just send you home right now, and that's enough, just to think about that. Worship at the throne of God. But in this time, and especially then through the Old Testament time as his children were coming together, he couldn't do that. But you see, how God communicates is not limited by the limitations we have. Does that make sense? We have physical limitations with how we communicate and how we act in this world. God does not have any of them. God can speak to us any way he wants to. That's why in the Bible you see those multiple ways that that took place. Do you know God is also not contained by time like we are? Maybe you've heard this said. The word is omnipresent. It means that God is in the past, he's in the present, and he's in the future. Let me tell you one more thing that's going to bake your noodle even more. He's there at all the same time. He doesn't have to pick which place that he goes. God is everywhere all at the same time. Now, before you're sitting there going, okay, my head hurts, don't try to figure that out. You can't. We cannot understand the things of God like that. The only reason I want you to understand and accept it is because then you know God knows what's going on in my life. And I believe that there are some of you, as a matter of fact, I know there are. There's a couple, maybe few of you sitting here this morning that you're thinking, I got so much going on right now, I can't even see straight hardly. God's there. He knows what's going to happen tomorrow in your life. He knows what's going to take place 10 years down the road. He knows why you're dealing with this right now. What's the reason? What's the purpose? He sees all of these things. Why do I say that? So that your faith is increased to understand, God, you love me more than I can imagine, so I know you're never going to give me more than I can handle. You're never going to give me anything where you bail on me and go, okay, there you go, that's yours. Why? Because the Bible says he'll never leave us or forsake us. And see, in these hours, my friends, I think Christians have got to keep this at the forefront of our minds at all times because you're being attacked on all sides. It's not necessarily an individual attack. It may not be something that you know, man, they're coming against me. But everything of our culture today is anti-God. It's anti-Christ. Who's going to fight against that? We are. And see, when God speaks to us, he's giving us a word of information, perhaps a word of knowledge. And so we read throughout all of the scripture, and you primarily will see this in the Old Testament, and the men that you primarily consider would be those that wrote the Old Testament prophetic books. And they're divided into two sections. If you go to the back half of your Old Testament, the first are the major prophets. They're the first four: Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and Daniel. Those are the four major prophets. And then the last 12 books of the Old Testament are the minor prophets. It starts with Hosea and it ends with Malachi. Now, before you think, well, I'm not going to read those because those are minor prophets. How about if I stick to the major prophets? It has nothing to do with content. It has to do with how long the books are. Daniel, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, they had a lot to say. So they were writing and writing and writing and writing. The other guys, not so much. But when you think of prophetic words, that's the way that those things came to the people during that time. Let me give an example of probably the easiest way to understand this. If you go back to Exodus chapter 5 through 12, that's the story of Moses and Aaron going before Pharaoh. Okay, you got this? You got James Carradine and Charlton Heston. You got those two guys in your mind? James Carradine was Aaron, by the way. Carradine family. You didn't know that, did you? See, you learn something new every day, Karen. It's just for you. So they go before Moses. And if you remember, Moses' life was divided into three portions of 40 years. He spent the first 40 years of his life in Egypt. He was raised as an Egyptian, you know the story, until the time where he killed a man and it was discovered. He felt, I've been ratted out, somebody knows I did this, I better leave. He goes to the land of Midian, which is where God brings his wife, where they have children, and his father-in-law, Jethro, who happened to be a very intelligent man that God would use later. That was the next 40 years. I got to think Moses is comfortable in this. He's got a good gig going on. He's got a lovely wife. He's got two great kids. My in-laws even like me. How great is that? My mother-in-law likes me. She told me this. I just want you to know. So Moses is comfortable in this. And then, guess what happened? What happened then? God showed up. I want you to understand, my friends, God doesn't always make us comfortable when he comes. It doesn't always happen that way. But what God did for Moses was he came and in the fiery bush on the mountain, he told Moses, I want you to go back to Egypt. I want you to go back to Pharaoh. And Moses, being the great man of God that he was, he said, God, thank you. I can't wait to do this. Isn't that what he said? No, that's not what Moses said. He said, but, five times. He gave God excuses of why he was not the guy. This is Moses doing this. The fifth one is he said, God, I can't speak well. He said, I don't know how to talk right. I don't talk goodly to go before Pharaoh. Thanks for getting that, Randy. I appreciate that. Moses said to God, I can't do it. God said, all right, wait, here's what's going to happen. And he says this in 7th chapter, the first verse of Exodus. Then the Lord said to Moses, see, I have made you like God to Pharaoh, and your brother Aaron will be your prophet. He'll be your prophet. In other words, the prophet, in this case Aaron, would speak for Moses. Well, a prophet today speaks for God, because God does not communicate to us directly. But that's what a prophet's role is to speak the word. Now, Moses was obviously a prophet. God spoke to him more closely and more intimately than anybody since Adam. What happened when the time came when Moses came back off the mountain? Do you remember what the people said to him? They said, Moses, your face, it's glowing. It's radiant. That's how close Moses was in contact with God. And yet he still said, God, I can't do this. A prophet speaks on behalf of God. Now, consider some of the words that the Old Testament uses as you see this, and I'll begin to wrap up this first portion. You'll see this often when you read, the word of the Lord came. The word of the Lord came. Let me give you some examples. 1 Samuel 15:10, it says, the word of the Lord came to Samuel. 2 Samuel 7:4, the word of the Lord came to Nathan. The word of the Lord came to Solomon. That's 1 Kings 6:11. So in that day, when God would bring a word, he would implant it on the heart and the mind of the individual. And there's so many more. Jehu, Elijah, David, all of these guys. The word of the Lord came. That was God speaking to their hearts. Now, were those men better than you? Were they more spiritual? Did they have a closer walk with the Lord in any way? Can I tell you? They're just like you and me. As a matter of fact, you don't have to look too far to see that each and every one of these men sinned in pretty significant ways, many of them. David, a man after God's own heart, and his family looked like a Jerry Springer show. He wasn't perfect. But I'll tell you what each and every one of them were. They were humble. They understood what it meant to walk in love with the people around them. They were also willing to lay down their need to be said or told that they're right. And with this, I'll close. I have said to you, I don't believe there are many prophets in our world today. Now, I don't know that for sure, but I just look around me. And one of the reasons for that is because to be a prophet of God, to have that word brought to you, you have to have zero concern that anybody's going to know that it was you. That has to be the least most important thing to you. And yet, there's a lot of television shows, a lot of books being written, a lot of people that are talking about God gave me a word. Do you know, as soon as I hear that, my alarms go off. Because the last thing somebody that's getting a word from God will say, God gave me a word. That makes sense? See, a humble spirit, a humble heart before God just says, God, how do you want to use me? How do you want me to operate in this? Because God's already got a plan. There is nothing of a prophetic word that has anything to do with the individual that's speaking the words. Nothing. All we are, church, are vessels. That's it. You're a vessel. And see, you know what I think that does and why God's love is so great is because then there's no responsibility on you to have to do anything other than just be available. That's it. See, I can't say that to them. They'll be so upset. It's not your words. It wasn't you. Now, you see why there aren't many around? Because that's a hard thing to do. It's difficult. It's hard for somebody to say, man, I blew that. I was so off. I didn't get anything right on that. You come back to God, and God lovingly says, come on, child. We'll try again. I share with you before, there's a difference between somebody with a prophetic gift and a prophet. That's two different things. All prophets have a prophetic gift. Not everyone with a prophetic gift is a prophet. Because a prophet is what? Come on, you know, never wrong. Ever. Why? Because he or she is speaking the direct words of God. It can't be wrong. A prophetic gift means God's given me an ability and I've desired to have him speak into me, but it's still got to go through my filter. I don't know about you. My filter ain't pure white. Maybe yours is. If it is, we're going to find a baptismal somewhere and I'm going to watch you walk across that water. That'll be really neat. That's not what it is, folks. We're not perfect. But we humble ourselves to say, God, help me to hear your voice. Help me, God, to speak this in love to the people around me. Because there's three things that must happen from that. You must be humble. It must be done in love. And every word of thanks, glory, goodness goes to God and to God alone. That's the foundation of a prophet. That's the foundation of a prophetic gift. And see, each and every one of you as a child of God can receive those words from him. So, well, Pastor Dave, how in the world do I know if it's God? What if it's the other guy? Or what if it's just me? I feel things about Pete, and I want Pete to know them. I know what I'll do. Pete, God gave me a word for you. And I'm going to tell him. Cut it out. Stop doing this. Stop. No. That's not a prophetic word. That's a twisting of it. Because as a child of God, the only thing I ever want to do is just what he wants me to do. There's none of my agenda, none of my thinking, none of my heart as a part of that. It's all surrendered to him. Next week, when we come back, I want to continue this. Because I don't want to give you so much that you walk out of here going, I have no idea what he was talking about. There was so much. We talk in church circles about feeding your congregation through a squirt gun or through a fire hose. I want to be in the middle of that. I'm leaning more towards the fire hose because you can handle it. I know you can. Your preacher's hard on you. I know that. He's tough on you sometimes. But this is so important, I think, in this hour. So I want to encourage you. Pray. Begin to pray. Begin to ask God. God, what's my role in this? Do you want to speak to me? Have you been speaking to me and I haven't known it? I've missed it. Well, see, you've got to come back because I believe God wants us all to understand. How do you do that? How do you recognize the voice of God? What are the points that must be hit in order for you to be receiving something from him? And what are those points that when you hit them, you're going, that might have been that pizza I had at 3 a.m. last night. That might not have been God. That might have been my dream that was happening. That TV show I saw last night, I probably shouldn't have watched. That's probably what. There's all kinds of influences in our lives. You say, Pastor Dave, will I ever know? I think you can. I absolutely do. If you want that, if you want to be used of God, you humble yourself before him. He's always present, always there, always speaking to us. Let's pray. Well, Father, I thank you for the truth of your word. I thank you, Father, that as we begin to look at these things, God, it's an awful lot of information, but I believe you're preparing our hearts to receive this. I believe, God, that Men and women sitting in this room are hungry for the things of you, and not just on Sunday, but every day. And to know, God, that you have given us a weapon against the enemy to be able to speak the truth in love with people. Even things that have not taken place yet, you gift us with that. But, Father, that's only going to happen if I surrender my life, if I walk in that in humility, and if I'm willing to do it only in love. So, Father, I thank you for this day. I pray now your blessing over each and every one of my brothers and sisters. Go before us, God. Keep us safe. And in every circumstance, every situation, may the words that we say, may the things that we do, the attitude of my heart be pleasing and bring glory and honor to you. I ask all of these things in the matchless name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Amen.